Presenting radio's foremost laboratory of writing and production techniques, the Columbia Workshop, coming to you today from Hollywood. Workshop is particularly proud when its search for new writers uncovers talent right in its own backyard, so to speak. The play you're about to hear is an example of what we mean. It is written by a young lady whose work has been heard over the stations of Columbia's Pacific Network for some time past. Her name is Madeline Pugh, and today's broadcast marks her coast-to-coast debut as a radio dramatist. Here, then, is It Shouldn't Happen to a Man by Madeline Pugh, with Jay Novello as him to whom it happened.
First of all, I'd like to explain that it wasn't my idea. I only did it to help David. My name is Jerry. My last name doesn't matter. Everybody just calls me Jerry. Or sometimes they just whistle when they want me. David and I, that's David Master, had lived together here in Hollywood for about 5 years. We were the best of friends, very close. David was a radio writer, and I, of course, had things that kept me busy, too. Well, I remember the night the whole business started. Remembered very well. David and I had just finished dinner, and we were in the living room in front of the fire. David seemed a little upset about something, and he started rubbing my head and gently pulling my ears the way I liked it and began to talk to me.
Oh, man, you don't know how lucky you are. No worries. Just lie around and sleep all day. Never even have to think about where your next piece of chopped liver is coming from. Where do they get all this stuff about a dog's life? Yes, sir. No problems. A little ceiling down the street never looks up at you with her big brown eyes and says she loves you, but she won't marry you if you quit your job to write a novel. No. She likes you for what you are, no matter whether you have a steady job or not. I'll be a son of a gun, Jerry. You look just like you understand everything I'm saying. You see, Margaret... Well, I love Margaret, that's all, Jerry. She's one of the most wonderful girls in the world. And she loves me. I want to marry her, but I know one of these days I'm going to want to write that novel. I owe it to myself. You know what I mean, Jer? Well, Margaret wants a home and security, you know, like women do. And she wants me to promise I'll never give up my job and go chasing some crazy idea around. She says that's juvenile and that I'm a dreamer. But if I give in to her on this, well, it's establishing a bad precedent. That's what it is. Why, next thing, she might even want me to get rid of you. No, frankly, old man, she just doesn't like dogs very well. She says dogs get hair on the furniture and that she wouldn't have one in the house. Well, I think we can make her come around.
You mustn't let me come between you and Margaret, David. I'll get out before I let that happen.
You know, for a minute I thought... No, it couldn't be.
Don't look so startled, David. We could see each other on weekends, take walks together. We'd still be friends.
No, Jerry, if Margaret... Jerry, you're talking.
Why, yes, David.
But have you always been able to talk?
Oh, I guess so, David. I never thought much about it.
But this is incredible. A dog who can talk. Why haven't you said anything before? After all, Jerry, we've known each other a long time. I think you might just have said... Hello, or something.
Oh, I guess it was kind of thoughtless of me. But then, people always seem to talk so much. Nothing personal, of course. I never felt there was much left for a dog to say.
Well, I'll be... Well, don't lie there on the floor, Jerry. Sit in the chair.
Sit in the... You never let me before.
Yeah, but everything's different now. Imagine a dumb mutt... Oh, I'm sorry, Jerry.
That's all right, David. Dogs are used to things like that. Although, dogs are very smart as a rule. You know, we pick up a lot of information just by listening to the conversations that go on around us. People never pay any attention to what they say in front of dogs, you know.
I suppose they don't.
And then a lot of dogs go to school, too.
They do?
Oh, yes. You know how you're always reading stories about dogs following their masters to school and sitting in class with them?
Yes, but
actually, the dog himself wanted to go to school. The masters being there in the same class, well, just incidental.
Is that a fact?
Sure. You're really surprised, aren't you?
Well, you never said anything before. Why didn't you, Jerry?
Well, to tell you the truth, David, you never talked to me about anything that seemed important before. You'll have to admit that there isn't much intellectual stimulation when all anyone ever asks you is, do you have to go outside? Well, David and I sat around for a while talking about, all sorts of things. He said it was very stimulating to get the canine viewpoint, and I enjoyed myself, too. Along about 9 o'clock, we went out for our usual evening walk. And right away, I could see things were going to be different.
Well, Jerry, now that you've found your voice at last, we're going to have to do something about you.
What do you mean, do something about me?
Why, use your talents. You can't just ignore a talking dog.
But you have up to now.
Jerry, think of the possibilities. Why, you'll be the greatest thing since... Well, since...
Rin-Tin-Tin?
Yes, since Rin-Tin-Tin. I'll take you down to the broadcasting station and introduce you to some important people. We'll build a whole show around you. We could get it sponsored by one of those canned dog foods. Why, you'll be a sensation. And the movies, they'll go wild about you. Just think, Jerry. Think what this means.
Now, wait a minute, David. Don't get carried away, please. I like my life the way it is, so peaceful.
But, Jerry, don't you realize what you're throwing away?
Well, you said yourself you didn't think a dog's life was so bad.
Oh, well, that was before I knew you could talk.
But I'm happy the way I am.
What'd you say?
I said I'm happy the way I am.
Oh. You know, it's awfully hard to carry on a conversation with you way down there. It's too bad you can't walk on your hind legs.
Walk on my... Well, I can.
You can. Why don't you, then?
Why don't you get down on all fours?
I'd look a little silly.
Well, I'd look a little silly walking down the street on two legs when I'm not dressed for it.
Oh, I see what you mean.
David, have you stopped to think what Margaret will say about your being mixed up with a talking dog?
Why, no, I hadn't. Why, of course. Don't you see this solves all our problems?
How?
Well, Margaret may object to you as a dog, but she can't very well object to you as a talking dog. A dog who thinks and acts like a man.
You think she'd like me better if she knew I can talk?
Why, it'll make all the difference in the world.
Well, maybe.
But, of course, Jerry, if you really don't want anyone to find out... I mean, if you'd rather not go ahead with this, I certainly don't want you to do it on my account.
Oh, but if you think it would help...
Oh, I'm sure it would help.
Maybe if Margaret found out you were right in your choice of dogs... She might even think you were right about other things, like quitting and writing that book of yours.
There's that possibility, but I couldn't ask you to do something you didn't want to. You mustn't think about me.
Oh, but David, if you really think this would help, why, I'm perfectly willing. It's little enough for me to do after all the things you've done for me.
Well, but are you sure, Jerry?
Certainly. And, you know, it might even be fun at that.
Wonderful. You're a pal, Jerry, a real pal. Give me your paw. Now, we've got to make some plans. I'll talk to Ernie Martin tomorrow. He's our program director. I can see it all now. Your own radio show with an orchestra and a guest star each week. I'll bet we can even get Lassie for the first show.
Now, David, hold on. I'm willing to take a crack at this thing to help you out, but if I'm going to enter the man's world, I'm going to do it like a man. I'm going to start at the bottom. None of this getting in through pull just because I know you.
Oh, but it isn't pull. Just because I happen to introduce you to some important people like Cy Howard and Larry Burns.
I'm
and...
very firm about this, David.
Oh. Well, okay. But at least let me arrange for an audition for you at the studio.
Well, I guess that would be all right.
Then it's all settled. I'll take care of things tomorrow. Uh-oh. Hey, Jerry.
What's the matter?
Here comes Margaret down the street. Maybe we'd better break this thing to her a little gradually. While she's with us, you won't say anything, will you?
Before we go any further, I think you should know about Margaret.
Pretty?
Well, some people say she is. She wears pretty shoes anyway. But, well, she's the kind of a girl who adores cats. You know what I mean? Well, 2 days later, David arranged for an audition at the radio studio. I borrowed a gray flannel suit of his and a gray felt hat that he had when he was back east, and with my ears tucked up under the hat, I looked just like any other Hollywood character, or so I thought. But while I was waiting for my audition, I noticed some of the other actors staring at me. I knew I must have given myself away somehow, and I finally got so fidgety, I asked the one next to me if anything was the matter.
No, not exactly. I was just looking at your hat.
Looking at my... Oh, I see. It doesn't hide my ears, does it?
Oh, it hides your ears all right, but I haven't seen a hat in California in years.
Well, I took my hat off and everybody stopped staring. And pretty soon, I was next up in line for the auditions. David and I had talked it over, trying to decide what I would be best at. And we finally decided probably I could do dog barks in the dramatic shows better than anything else. Well, I knew I could handle it all right, but still I was a little nervous. Well, who wouldn't be? You walk into that big empty studio and there's the director sitting up there behind the glass window so remote that he even talks to you through a loudspeaker. It's enough to take the curl out of your tail. The girl ahead of me was just finishing up and she sounded pretty good to me.
Goodbye. Goodbye until the lilacs bloom again. Until spring is in the air and in my heart. Until the time when you and I are together for all of eternity.
All right, Miss Ridgway, thank you very much.
But you haven't heard my dialect, Mr. Robeson. I do Spanish and French and something else that I'm not sure what it is.
Oh, well, there's another time. Thanks for coming in. Give your name to Miss Murray as you go out, and we'll get in touch with you.
Thank you.
Next?
Oh, I guess I am.
All right, get over to the mic. Let's see what you can do.
I specialize in dog barks.
All right. Woo, 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 woo. Well, go on.
Oh, well, let's see. A dog who's afraid.
Anything else?
Well, I could do a crying dog.
All right, let's hear it. Is that all?
Yes, that's it.
Thanks for coming in. Give your name to Miss Murray on your way out. We'll get in touch with you if we need you.
Oh, all right. Thanks for your trouble.
Not at all. Goodbye. Hey, wait a minute.
Yes?
You seem to be a pretty nice young fellow. Let me give you a friendly tip. Don't break your heart trying to get into radio.
Well, what do you mean?
It's too tough. Guys with talent are a dime a dozen. You're young yet. You can get into something else. Job at a filling station or selling insurance. Something respectable.
I gather you didn't think too much of my dog box.
Well, in a word, no. In all my years in radio, that was about the worst imitation of a dog I've ever heard.
Well, you can see how far that went. My career in radio was over before it started. But David wasn't as discouraged as I was. Like I said, he's a writer. And he suggested that I try his profession. Magazine writing, maybe. David seemed to think dog stories would be my best bet. You know, Albert Pace and Terhune sort of stuff. So I went to work. I submitted a story, a light sort of thing called Every Dog Has His Day. And I got a letter from the editor. They were interested, but they wanted to make a few changes.
What changes did they specifically mention, Jerry?
Well, for one thing, they wanted to make the small mongrel, you know, the hero who works in a factory.
Yeah.
Well, they wanted to make him a Scotty who spends most of his time in cafe society.
Oh, no, that would ruin the whole thing.
And the villain, the heavy?
Yeah.
I had him, an international banker, and they want to make him a Russian wolfhound.
Oh, fine.
And then the ending where I have the dog losing his money and having to go back to the factory?
Great scene.
Well, they want me to fix it up so it has a happy ending.
What are you going to do, make the changes?
I don't know. I'll try, but it won't be the same story. Mind if I use your typewriter again today?
Oh, help yourself.
Oh, I wish somebody hadn't already used the title of Bulldog Drummond. I've got a detective that would fit that name beautifully.
Yeah. Well, you know, it seems like every time you get a swell idea for a story, you always find out it's been done before.
Yeah. Of course, what I'd really like to write is a serious article about the dogs of the world.
Oh?
You know, all the different breeds and how well they get along together. Sort of show that people can do the same thing. All it takes is just a little understanding.
Sounds good. Why don't you do it?
Maybe I will. I'd certainly like to.
Uh-oh.
What's the matter?
Here comes Margaret up the walk.
Well... Look, I'll get away from the desk and you act like you've been writing, okay?
Okay.
Unless, of course, you think this is a good time to tell
them. No, not just yet.
All right. Anything you say, David.
Yeah, there. Now, I'll loosen my tie. And mush my hair a little so it looks like I've been working.
Fine, that's it. I'll get it. Oh no. That isn't right.
No, I better go. Yes?
Hello, darling.
Why, Margaret. What a nice surprise.
I just drove Mother out to the club. I had a fast ride by, so I thought I'd drop in for a second.
Great. Glad you did.
Are you?
You know I am, honey.
Oh, you've been working.
Working? Oh, yeah, working like a dog. That is, yes, I've been working like a beaver, busy.
Oh, I won't stay long, then. I don't want to interrupt you for a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, Jerry. Nearly stepped on you, didn't I? David, have you thought any more about what you're going to do with Jerry after we're married?
Margaret.
Promise me you would, you know.
Margaret, please.
Oh, David, you act as if you think he could understand what we're saying.
Well, how do you know he can't?
Oh, David, really? Anyway, I didn't come over here to argue now. We'll talk about it some other time. What are you writing?
Writing? Oh, just some things.
May I see?
Why, sure.
Get down, Jerry, get down. Every dog has his day. Oh, what kind of thing is this, David?
Well, it's a kind of satire.
I didn't know you went in for satire.
Oh, didn't you?
Huh. This doesn't sound like you at all, David.
What do you mean?
Well, it just doesn't, that's all. This opening, for instance, it isn't up to your caliber of writing.
Margaret, it's just different, that's all.
Well, maybe. Frankly, David, just from reading the beginning, I wouldn't say this change in your writing was for the better.
Well,
I mean, this writing sounds so amateurish. You know, like almost anyone could have done it. Sounds like it might have been written by someone who didn't know the first thing about structure. It could have been written by anyone, even by Jerry.
See what I mean about Margaret? She was quite a girl. Personally, I couldn't quite see why David was so in love with her. But then he never understood about that little Scotty across the street. One thing was clear. If I was ever going to do any good writing, I'd have to have a place of my own. It seemed like Margaret or one of David's friends was always popping in, and I'd have to jump down from the typewriter and lie on the floor until they were gone. Of course, I knew it was going to be rough finding a vacancy in Hollywood or any place in Los Angeles, but, well, I thought I'd try anyway. Obviously, I couldn't put an ad in the paper. You know the kind of answers I'd have had if I said something like, talking dog wants place to live. So I started pounding the pavements, looking for a vacancy.
A vacancy?
A vacancy? You're looking for a vacancy? Don't make me laugh!
Yes, as a matter of fact, we might have a vacant apartment first of next month.
Oh, say, that would be wonderful.
But I think it's only fair to tell you we have certain rules. No wild parties, no children, and positively no dogs.
Oh, well, I guess that would let me out then.
You got a dog?
No, I haven't got a dog. But I do like to give an occasional party. Believe me, I learned fast. Hunting an apartment in this town is an experience that, if you pardon the expression, shouldn't happen to a dog. Well, the next thing I thought about was buying a house. You see, I was in the Canine Corps in the war, so I was eligible for a GI loan. So I hunted up a real estate agent, and we went looking for a house.
Yes, sir. Wait till you see this place. You'll go nuts about it.
How far out is it, Mr. Holmes?
Oh, not much further now. And if you don't take one look at it and fall right smack in love with it, well, then
my name's not George Holmes. You know our slogan. There's no Holmes like Holmes Holmes.
Yes. Well, tell me more about this place.
Let's see. It's got a southern exposure and a view.
Oh, boy, what a view. It's small, but very compact. Everything you need.
And I'll say this. It's not as small as some of the junk they're selling these days. Why, I was in a house the other day. Wasn't big enough to swing a cat in.
Oh, really? That would be too small.
Well, here we are. Just 45 minutes from the streetcar line.
It seemed a little longer, but...
There she is. Isn't that the sweetest little place you ever saw for $10,000? What's the matter? Don't you like it?
Well, it...
No, don't make any decision until you see the inside. You'll just love
it. I'm sorry. There isn't any use in even looking at it.
Well, I don't get you.
Well, it's just that maybe it would have been all right before, but it's out of the question now. Mr. Holmes, you didn't tell me it was a doghouse. Well, that seemed to settle the housing situation. David, of course, insisted that I forget all about it and stay with him. I'd just about given up the idea of trying to write anyway, so it wasn't so important that I have a place of my own. But there was still the question of a career now that I was leading a man's life. And here again, David came through with an idea.
Jerry, this thing isn't going to lick us. I got another idea.
You have, David?
You're going on a lecture tour.
I am?
Yes.
What am I going to lecture on?
Your ideas about minorities and how the peoples of the world could get along just like the different dogs of the world. You know, the things you wanted to write about, only instead you talk about them.
Say... That might be all right.
I even know what you could call your talk. Call it, What Would Happen If This Country Should Go to the Dogs?
Hey, I like that.
Now, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get your speech worked up, and then we'll break it in somewhere near here. Some woman's club out in Glendale or Pasadena, maybe. Just to see how the reaction is.
Fine.
But Jerry, I think we got it. Yes, sir, I think this is it. Those club women will lionize you. You'll be the top dog. Why... I can hear that applause right now.
The Pasadena chapter of the Native Nuggets of the California Gold Rush is proud to welcome you, Mr. Jerry.
Thank you.
Oh, yes. We're just thrilled to death to think that the Native Nuggets Memorial Auditorium will be the very first hall you will lecture in.
After all, we're used to first, you know. After all, we're composed of the first families of California.
Is that so?
Oh, that is, descendants of the first families.
Oh, yes, of course.
And I want you to know, I think the title of your speech is terribly clever.
What would happen if this country should go to the dogs? What does it mean, anyway?
Well, you see...
Jerry, there's just one detail. It's rather embarrassing.
Embarrassing?
Yes, you see, I'm head of the committee which is sponsoring your appearance before the Pasadena Native Nuggets, and our corresponding secretary forgot. Well, that is... anyone who appears before our group must have... Well, it's just a formality, but after all, we do represent the oldest families in California.
I'm sorry, but I don't
well,
quite
personally,
see...
Personally, I like dogs. Some of my best friends own dogs.
Yes. Well,
is there some difficulty? I mean, I'm afraid I don't understand.
Well, what we're trying to say, Mr. Jerry, is we forgot to find out if you have a pedigree. You see, you can't possibly speak in the Native Nuggets Memorial Auditorium without one.
Naturally, I didn't have a pedigree. I'm just a plain hound. But I feel just as much a Californian and an American as any 100% dog alive. Well, I went on home, my enthusiasm for public speaking pretty well shot. When I got there, I found we had company.
But I was never so humiliated in my life. When Gladys called me from Pasadena, well, I could have gone through the floor. It's bad enough to have that dirty dog around, but when he begins to talk, well, really...
Margaret, please.
Oh, well.
Hello, Jerry.
Hello, David. Hello, Margaret.
How do you do?
I see you've heard what happened.
One of Margaret's friends from Pasadena called her. I'm sorry it turned out the way it did.
Oh, that's all right. It wasn't anybody's fault, really. We can try it again some other place.
Yeah, sure.
David, this is the end. Are you going to go on promoting this fiasco?
I guess our idea didn't work, did it, David?
What does he mean?
Well, Jerry only did this for me, Margaret. I knew you didn't like dogs, and... Well, we thought that if Jerry acted like a man, you'd like him better.
Oh, David, you're such a child. Can't you see that this creature is just using you? Naturally, he's pretending he's doing it for you. Why wouldn't he want to be a man? And as soon as he's established, he'll probably get the dogs of the country to start a revolution or something.
Margaret, you're being ridiculous.
Oh, am I? Well, let's just see how ridiculous you think this is. You can choose right now. It's that monstrosity or me.
Margaret, you... Oh... Let's not be rash.
Is that your decision?
Wait a minute, David. There's no need for a decision. I'll leave.
But, Jerry, I...
Yes, I'm leaving. Don't you see, things couldn't ever be the same anyway.
No, I suppose not.
And, Jerry, you don't need to think that you can get away with this stunt of yours anywhere else either. I have friends, you know. Friends with influence.
Margaret, please.
You don't need to worry, Margaret. I'm not going to try this stunt, as you call it, anymore. I'm through.
What do you mean?
Just what I said. If this is a man's world, David, I don't want any part of it. From now on, I'm going to live a dog's life.
You can't be serious.
Oh, no.
You have just heard the Columbia Workshop production of It Shouldn't Happen to a Man, written by Madeline Pugh and directed by William N. Robeson. Jerry the Dog was played by Jay Novello, and others in the cast included Kathy Lewis, Sarah Selby, Gail Bonney, Elliot Lewis, Jack Crucian, and Pinto Colvig. The original score was composed by Maurice Carlton, and the orchestra was conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Next week, the Columbia Workshop will return to New York to present a program appropriate to the 5th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. Listen then to The Parade, as adapted by Margaret Lou Wirth from Morris Markey's story in the December issue of McCall's Magazine. Richard Sandville will direct for the workshop, and the original music will be by Robert W. Stringer. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.